Good morning.
This is Bible reading we're taking from Acts chapter 11, verse 22 to 26. Acts chapter 11, verse 22 to 26. There is, then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent for Barnabas, that he should go far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and his name said unto him, that with purpose of that they could keep on the word, for he was a good man, and people did good and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves to the church, and they taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians just in Antioch. This is the Bible reading.
Amen. Good morning.
I think we sang so well this morning that I lost my voice during the song class. Today we thank God for another opportunity to gather here and to admonish ourselves in His Word. One of the beauty of being a Christian is we gather like this to get advice, to get encouragement, to get reassurance about the will of God. Imagine the question for today in our discussion. What does it mean to be a Christian? Doesn't it sound weird? All of us are Christian. Yes, majority of us, probably a lot of people, don't know why or who is Christian. Today, people use the word Christian without understanding what it really means. The word is commonly associated with cultural identity, religious label. In fact, generally, you will see if you ask a child, they will tell you, I'm a Christian, I'm not a Christian. And people tend to say, oh, I'm from a Christian background. I am not a Christian. But what does it really mean? Even yourself, this is the kind of question that we should be asking ourselves on a daily basis. What does it mean? Who am I? What does it really mean to be a Christian? Yes, I would like to, let's talk about some statistics from the world perspective. Because Christianity is a very popular religion and there are so many people that are Christian. It's even reflected in politics and government. Then what do the world talk about it? It is estimated that Christianity is the largest religion in the world, no doubt. And about 2.5 billion people globally claim to be Christian. This is about 30% of the world's population. It's massive, don't you think so? Christianity is predominantly in Europe and the Americas. If you go to places like Asia and other places, you see less of Christian. But of course, there's a significant number of people who believe in Christian. And recently, studies have shown that there is massive growth of Christianity in sub-Saharan Africa. Africa is predominantly not Muslims, and down south, Christian. And so, there is massive growth. It is projected that globally, the world population of people who claim to be Christian will increase to a whopping figure of 3 billion people by 2050. This is a growing concern, and I call myself a Christian. It's interesting that Christianity is growing, but what does it really mean? The Christian values and who we are, is it really growing? About 2.7 million people become Christian annually. According to the last UK Censor 2021, it was reported that approximately 13.1% decrease in Christian population in England and Wales. And in that report, there was suggestion that there's a growing number of young people that are attending regular services. You see, it's interesting because when you come to a place like Leicester Church of Christ, we are particularly blessed with a lot of young people. Maybe because there are universities that surround us, and that the fact that young people can be coming to church, and this is backed by public data, is interesting. But when you look at the world today, Christian values and virtues, is it, can we say it? If you look at the far end, you see pictures. Recently, not long ago, around December, January, the President of America threatened military action in Nigeria about Christian genocide, that people are killing Christians, and so he wants to intervene. So, internationally, it also influenced government and governance and people. In the United Kingdom, that some group of people, far-right political leaders, talking about adopting Christian values in government, that they want to go back. And so these are growing concerns, and the world can see. And we, you and I, we call ourselves Christian, but do we really mean what it means? Do we really know what it means to be a Christian? All of these data are public data, and they are verifiable. But there is a question about it. It only points to one thing. The world needs education about what Christianity is all about. Because just yesterday, we see escalation of war in Iran. And these things also have religious connotations. So you and I have the responsibility to educate the world what Christianity means. The book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "Be ready always to answer everyone that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." My dear brothers and sisters, we need to educate ourselves. We need to educate the world. Jesus said, "Go into the world and preach the gospel. Whosoever believes and is baptized shall be saved." That command is for all of us. And the beginning starts with knowing who we are. It is our responsibility to know. According to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, let us read. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. It says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." It is our responsibility to show the world. And even in the church and the so-called Christian home, we still see a lot of disarray. We still see a lot of chaos, despite the fact that we claim Christian. Even in the countries and environment where we have predominant Christianity, we still see a lot of worldly values and terrible behavior, satanic manifestation. So, what does it really mean to be a Christian? Let's quickly look at the origin of Christianity. Christianity begins with Christ. From the beginning of creation, God has always desired to have a people for himself. From Noah to Abraham to the children of Israel, even to this very age, the Christian age. The book of Hebrews chapter 1, 1 and 2 says that God in sundry times and in diverse manners spoke to the fathers by the prophet, and in these last days speaking to us by his Son, Jesus. Prophet Isaiah, in his writings, Isaiah chapter 2, 1 and 2, he said, "The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established upon the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it." This prophecy was fulfilled in Christ. Before, God gathered some people to himself, but through Christ, the whole world had opportunity to be associated with God. And those who follow Christ to have a relationship with God are the ones called Christian. The Bible in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 told us that Christians are special people. Let's read. 1 Peter chapter, this is a very popular passage, 2:9. It said, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." What a wonderful people. I like to be part of those people. And I think it's a blessing for you and I to be associated with those who are called royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Bring forth to the praises of God. The word Christian, despite the popularity in the world, only appeared three times in the Bible. In fact, in the New Testament, only three occurrences of the word. Despite that, we see the presence all over the book. Yes, just three times in the Bible. The first is our text, Acts of the Apostles chapter 11 verse 26, where we read that the early disciples were first called Christian in Antioch. If you read from the earlier passages of our Bible reading today, you see after the death of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, the people scattered and go to different places. And one of the places they settled into is Antioch. And they continue there to propagate the gospel. And when you read down to 26, the Bible says that was the first time people were called Christians, because they were behaving like Christ. They noticed that these people in character and belief and practice are like Christ. And that was where they first called them Christian. Another event was in Paul's defense when he was in trial with King Agrippa. Acts chapter 26, verse 28. Paul testified of himself and about Christ, and even told the king that you are a witness to this event. And the king responded as if, "Thou almost make me a Christian." That was the second point. So the people then who follow Christ, who behave in this way, were known and called Christian. The last reference to this word throughout the Bible was 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. We say, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him be blessed. Let's read it. 1 Peter chapter 4.
Yeah, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this.
You see, suffering and Christianity, they are synonymous. It's associated to these people. And Peter, in one of his epistles, wrote that if you are suffering as a Christian, you should not be ashamed, but you should glorify God on this behalf. Christianity began as more like a movement where men and women who believe in Jesus as their Lord were willing to follow him at any cost. People who were seen to be Christian were noticed that they are ready to give up everything for the sake of Christ. Land, gold, fame, popularity, whatever. Just to be associated with that name. And this reminds me of the parable, of one of two of Jesus' parables. The parables of the hidden treasure and the parable of the great pearl, the pearl of great price. In this parable, Matthew chapter 13, 44 to 46, Jesus spoke about a merchant, who found a great treasure in a field and decided to go home. If you read that passage, it says joyfully to sell all his possessions so that he can buy that land. People who were called Christians were willing and ready to give up everything just to be able to carry on the life of Christianity, the likeness of Christ. The early Christian gave up all they had to be identified as a Christian. Today, we still see that Christians carry their own person. They carry their own fame, their popularity, their knowledge, and there is distinction between being a Christian and being me. Now, let's quickly look at the life of the early Christian. What were they doing and who were they? The early Christians were not perfect people, as some people might think, but they were committed people. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, according to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 42. The Bible told us that they were committed, they were devoted, but they were not perfect. Some people struggle with the word perfect. Being perfect. In fact, when Jesus was physically here on earth, he didn't claim perfection. Somebody called him good master. He said, no, don't call me good master. There's no one good except God. Not claiming being perfect is accepting that you are not infallible. You're a Christian. These people are Christian, but they are not infallible. We also noticed that the early Christians, they prayed together. There's a popular saying that families that pray together stay together. Go and watch it. Families who are committed in prayers and devotion together, they stay together. This is one of the Christian virtue and value. The early Christian, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 42. And if you read down to verse 42, but chapter 4, verse 24 and 31. Let's read that passage. Acts chapter 4, 24 and 31. Or maybe we should first read that 42. It said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. These are the things people see them doing. Today, as we mentioned this, I want you to reflect on people who call themselves Christian today. Do they have this character? Do they have this characteristic? Did they behave in this manner? And in chapter 4, verse 24.
When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken when they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and displayed the word of God in boldness.
I want you to note that the passage said they lifted their voice in one accord. And what they said was written. It means that they were praying together. Probably somebody led that prayer. And in 31, he said, and when they had prayed, the place were shaken, and they were they assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with more boldness. Those are the characteristics that we see among the early, the people who were first called Christian. We have to, the Bible also told us that they broke bread together. That's the communion that we just did. They shared their possessions. Today in our Christian life, in the so-called church, and in Church of Christ, maybe, do we share our possessions together? Do we share our time, our knowledge, our love, compassion together? Because these are the values of the early Christian. The Bible also told us that they endure persecution with joy. One of the things that destroy Christian community is because they have lost endurance and perseverance of tolerating one another. If you read Acts of the Apostles chapter 5, verse 41, the Bible says, they were persecuted, but they took it with joy. If we must truly be the Christian in the Bible, we have to see trials and temptations and tribulations as joy. I was speaking to a brother, we all know him, Brother Paul, recently, and the way he was so sure, I thought, I just wonder, if I am in his shoe, will I be so confident? When trials come, it is expected that Christians should take it with faith and confidence. Those are the values for the Christian. They refuse to deny Christ, even under threats. According to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, they refuse to deny Christ. But today, we see war and threats of war. When people are persecuted for their religion, we see anger and rage. I was talking to a brother recently, and the brother made a decision. I was trying to encourage him to reconsider his decision. And he said something that really broke my heart. He said, he doesn't care whether he makes heaven. If this decision will make him lose heaven, so be it. It is very sad because the people we know that the Bible talked about as Christians were ready and willing to give everything. And they refused to deny Christ. But today, what do we see? We see ourselves denying Christ with small issues and challenges. We want to prove our right first. We want our voices to be heard first. We want to accomplish our purpose first, then Christ come later. Being a Christian in the first century, even now, is not an easy task, my brothers and sisters. We still have war and chaos despite the growing number of Christians in the world today because people think that being a Christian is convenient. The life of Christians in the Bible were never portrayed to be convenient, to be easy. Yes, and this is the truth. It could cost you your reputation, your possession, even your life to be clean as a Christian. Christianity was never meant to be convenient. It was meant to be transformative. The Bible says, whosoever be in Christ is a new creature. All things are passed. Behold, all things have become new. But is that so with us, even though we claim to be Christian? When you become a Christian, what changed in your life? Reflect back at the point of your conversion. And we still have young people, thank God today, that are still being taken over by this Christianity. At that point that you decide to give your life to Christ, what changed in your life? Or maybe, what is changing every day in your life? Because the life of a Christian is about continuous transformation. We wake up every day, ask myself, what am I going to do differently in order to stand by this cause of Christ? Because sometimes we are doing certain things and we forget, we believe. The Bible says, exalting one another daily. While it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is easy to deceive. So the Christian life is all about continual transformation, continuous changing. Yes. What does it mean, again, to be Christ-like? Because those people in Antioch, Acts 11:26, they were called Christian because they saw the life of Christ in them. So what does it really mean to be a Christian? To be Christ-like is to reflect the character of Christ. It means loving your enemy. Today we want to greet those who greet us, love those who love us. We want to laugh at those who laugh at us. But my dear brother, if this is your religion, I tell you, you are still in a deceitful land. In Christ, everything changes. We are supposed to love those who love us. I remember there was a time we talked about, there was a passage that Jesus said, if you do good to those who do good to you, then what is your reward? Or if you say hello to who is willing to smile, then what is your benefit? To be a Christian is about forgiving those who wrong you. Matthew chapter 6:14-15. Jesus said, whosoever, if you forgive those who wrong you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you your trespasses. Being a Christian is walking in humility. What is humility? Humility is putting yourself in the second place. This is a very difficult thing for humans to do, including me. I'm not coming first. In this decision, my choice does not count. The choice of others go first. Philippians chapter 2:5-8. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who counts himself to no reputation, but humble itself. Being a Christian is about speaking the truth in love. Oftentimes we know what is right and we want to say it, but manner is important. Let me show you a passage we read often, but maybe we don't take basic cognizance to it. We just did the communion, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. When you read to 27 and 28, the Bible says, let's read that question.
Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians 11, that passage that we quote for communion on the time. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Where I want to bring that is unworthily. That is manner. If you are speaking the truth, you have to speak it in a manner that is appropriate. If you speak the truth without love, it will be inappropriate. Being a Christian is doing the right thing in the right way. Being a Christian is service rather than seeking status. Because the kind of master leadership in Christ is about servanthood. Imagine somebody who wants to be our leader with this one cleaning and saying sorry. And that's the life of Christian. Because what does Jesus do? He was watching his disciples. In fact, people don't know him. He took one of the 12 to reveal his identity. But imagine the world of Christianity we have today. Do you think the Pope is somebody you cannot identify? Of course you identify him. Or maybe the general overseer, they dress differently, they see differently, they speak differently, they do things differently. But in Christ, it is not so. It is important that we know who we are, so that we can tell the world who Christ is, so that they can come to Him. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 22, He said, I am crucified with Christ. Our life needs to be dead. And this is not a one-time event. It's a continuous event. He said, nevertheless, I live. The life that I now live, I live in Christ. Being Christ-like is not mere going to church. It's not church attendance. That you come to church does not make you a Christian. The other side, it is not religious performance. Just like I'm doing, I might be an eloquent speaker, does not make me a true Christian. It has to reflect in my behavior and character and my perseverance and my genuineness. One thing about genuineness and love is you cannot hide it. If you are honest, people will just perceive it. People will know. You cannot pretend it. It's like smoke. You can't cover it. It will just find its way out. Being a Christian is not self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is pride in disguise of being religious. It is a feeling of morally superior to others. Maybe by knowledge or thoughts or thinking. True Christian produces humility, not arrogance. Today, we see so much arrogance. I must behave. My way must count. And I cannot be subdued. The reward of Christian is not on earth, it's in heaven. Christ, the Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, but today we want to cut it when it's fresh. Is there any reward for being a Christian? Of course, there is plenty of reward. But first, Jesus, the kind of reward for Christian is not like the world expects. Christianity, Jesus promised trial. In John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, in me you will have peace, but in the world you shall have tribulation. This is not a choice. But the trials come in different forms. Persecution. According to Apostle Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. He said, all that, note that word, maybe you can highlight it. He said, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Your persecution may be within yourself. Your persecution may be because you stand for the truth. Your persecution may just be because people don't like you, because you are good. You are doing the right thing. At the same time, Christ promised peace for Christians. He said, peace that surpasses understanding. You are hungry, but you are filled. You have trouble sharing in your faith, but you are calm because you know that the Lord of the storm is on your side. Jesus promised peace that cannot be taken away. John 15, 11. He also promised presence of the Holy Spirit and ultimately eternal life. These are the rewards of being a Christian. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul wrote, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us." As Christians, we need to anticipate a greater glory that God will give you, not the present benefit. Now, how can I be a Christian? How does one be a Christian? We see that the world population of Christianity is growing, majority by birth. Yes, others by conversion. But what is the truth? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man." Unfortunately, there's so much perversion in the world today. There's so much error. But you and I, we have to tell the world what is the truth. To be a Christian, you have to hear the gospel of Christ, that is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You have to believe in that gospel. You have to repent of your sin, because it is sin that separates us from God. Then you have to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You must be baptized. Baptism, the Bible says, is the answer of a good conscience towards God, and continue to live faithfully. Because being a Christian does not immune you from the devil. You have to continue to stay within the principles and the precepts of Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means belonging to Christ. It means living like Christ. It means suffering with Christ. It also means reigning with Him eternally. It is not about religion. It is a relationship. Christianity is not a label. It is transformation. Being a Christian is not a title. It is a testimony. Wherever you are a living testimony of Christ. The real question is not whether you are called a Christian. The real question is that, does your life reflect Christ? Have you truly surrendered to Him? May the Lord bless His word in Jesus' name.
Amen.